know people according to the flesh, but he says he knows them according to the Spirit. According to the flesh, we have various types of relationships. We're good friends, or we meet somebody and we say, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a school teacher. Oh, I'm a shop clerk and married and we have children and whatever it might be. You know, what are your hobbies and what are the things that you do in this world? According to the flesh, we might say, oh, that's a terrible bruise on your head. You must have had a terrible fall. Now I see you have a hard time hearing. Can I help you? Or you're having a hard time getting your groceries out of the store. Can I help you carry them? These are all things that the ways that we operate in this world, and they're not important ways. They're not to be diminished. But there's a different way of knowing people because we're not just flesh and bones that live in this world. And in two of the three gospel readings that we had today, this is very much our Lord's point. In the gospel for the day, he said that you are not to love father, mother, son, or daughter more than me. You're not to, the most precious relationships we have, according to the flesh, are our family relationships. And he made it clear that, well, this isn't the sort of very core of your being as a human being. You have to love your Creator first and foremost. And then everything else falls into place. It's not that the relationships, the biological relationships, the relationships we have in this world become, as it were, irrelevant, but they take their proper place. So he can go on to say, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. And this becomes really the characteristic feature of knowing someone according to the Spirit, is that there's a kind of connectedness that goes back to the very source of creation, namely the Father. If someone receives us, as it were, in the Spirit, knows us in the Spirit, or we receive them, then we receive Christ, because we are in this body of Christ. And if we receive Christ, we receive his Father, the one who sent him. And so there's this connectedness, this unity, this intertwining of our life with the divine life and with the source of life. So that Jesus can go on to say, if you receive a prophet in a prophet's name, not just a prophet according to the flesh, but a prophet in a prophet's name, somebody who's truly connected to the source of life, then you'll get a prophet's reward, because that life in the Spirit is so continuous that there's ripple effects that run through it. So if you receive a prophet, then you'll be treated as a prophet, even though you didn't act like a prophet in other respects. You didn't have that role in mind. Same thing with being a righteous man. If you receive a righteous person as a righteous person, not just as somebody according to the flesh, but for who they truly are in Christ, same thing. The ripple effects of that spiritual world go out to you. You receive a righteous man's reward. And if you give a child a cup of water, not according to the flesh, but as a disciple, as someone who's connected to the source of life, sure, giving somebody a cup of cold water that needs it, who's thirsty at any time, is a wonderful thing. But Jesus is trying to tell us that there's a much deeper reality than the physical reality that we experience so easily and maybe so powerfully that we it overpowers the spiritual sight, spiritual senses that we have. Same thing with the other gospel that we had for the righteous Anna. When Jesus' mother and his brothers come to see him, he says, who are my mother and my brothers? The one who does the will of God. The one who's rightly connected. The one who's obedient. The one who really understands that love is this intertwined life that makes us inseparable from one another. St. Paul summed it up in a letter to the Corinthians when he said that when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. When one member of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. As though it's a matter of fact, not what we should do, but what is in fact happening. This spiritual connectedness is such that the ripple effects go out for so our calling is not to ignore one another according to the flesh, but first and foremost to see the people that God places in front of us as spiritual beings. Not as physical and material beings, but as spiritual beings. And to do that, we have to do what our Lord says in a verse that I skipped over from the first gospel. We have to take up our cross and follow Him. We have to set aside the things that seem most tangible and most concrete, deny ourselves those things so that we can follow our Lord into the spiritual realm, into opening our spiritual eyes to see people and to see how profoundly connected we are with one another. And then when we're able to do that little by little, we'll be able to experience a way of knowing one another that transcends the temporary constraints that we have in this world. It transcends all of the kind of issues that we're facing in our culture that seem so important, the sort of racial and societal civil unrest and health and viruses and concerns and complications about going to school and not sending kids to school, and all of these things that are important in their own ways. But they lose their proper role in our lives when we make them the basis of our interaction with each other. When they become the way that we know each other. We know each other as someone who wears a mask or is not wearing a mask. We know someone as being black or brown or white, whatever it might be. We know someone just according to the flesh. We know someone who's had the coronavirus or who's afraid of getting it or who's a school teacher and doesn't want to go back to school or whatever it might be. We know people in the ways of this world that we so evaluate, we so emphasize that, we so value that we lose sight of the spiritual being that each person is. So our role in the life of the church is to really cultivate this spiritual knowledge of one another. That's the way in which when we receive someone in that way, we're receiving Christ and we're receiving His Father. And maybe in some small way, we're offering to them and showing them that there is a world that's deeper and more profound than the things that we're so easily caught up in, and that so become a kind of a means for anger and violence and really the things that become weapons in this world that we use against each other to destroy each other. If we realize our connectedness such that these wounds don't just happen to that person, but that they percolate throughout the culture and the spiritual realm, will be profoundly changed. I can't tell you the number of times that parents have come to me and told me about how they're arguing and they're really angry and they're yelling at each other, and then after they say this, but they'll inevitably say, "Oh, we never do this in front of the children." As if they don't know. As if there's no spiritual world. As if the only thing that really affects a child is the physical world, the world of the flesh. If they're out of earshot, we can yell at each other as much as we want and they won't be affected. Well, maybe that would be true if there was no spiritual realm. But when mother and father are at odds with one another, when there's tension in the household, when there's a lack of love and understanding, the spiritual world has these waves, tsunamis in it. It's like a gravitational force or an electromagnetic force. It goes out into the world unseen. And our children, our neighbors, the people around us are affected by this. And so again, let us keep in mind that our life in the church is a calling to simply set things in the proper order, the proper perspective, to not love anything or anyone more than Christ. And to do that, we'll deny ourselves everything in this world so that we can follow Him. And then He'll give us everything back in a way that's profoundly transformed, because it'll be experienced by us in light of its creation, in light of its spiritual life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.